Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
And every one of you are here today to hear our very special guest speaker who comes from all the way in Newmarket. Our Northside brother and his church. I mean, they're family to us. Him and his wife, Deborah, are good friends of this church, as well as Pastor Jono's parents, who were the founding members of ICC, International City Church. You know, we pray for them as well as they pray for us often, and I'm really glad to call this brother a friend. But, you know, like when you transition into a new city, I should say, you know, the relationships that you have on the ground are so important. I really count this man of God as a brother in the spirit to me, and I'm just really honored to walk alongside he and Deborah, both Tina and I. You know, the Lord's blessed us with the opportunity to have him come and speak. A man of prayer, a man that definitely moves prophetically and loves to pray. In fact, getting around him is so convicting because he prays so much. I'm like, are you talking to me? Are you talking to God right now? But that's the sort of man he is. So he definitely hears from God, and we're going to hear from God through him. So please give a warm welcome from Every Nation Brisbane to Pastor of ICC, Pastor John O'Mock, as he comes to deliver the word today.
Good afternoon. I've been here before and Nellie was away. Tina was here the last time. And so it's finally, I get to preach in EN, Brisbane, with Pastor Nellie here. And we go way back. Pastor Ken Dew, some of you remember Pastor Ken. It was such a blessing to meet your pastors. I might do a sort of a new message. Will you turn with me to the book of Jeremiah? I'm going to do something different here. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, I want to read this and then we're going to pray. It says, the Lord gave me this message. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. That's prophetic. All right? I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. And Jeremiah then replies, he says, oh, sovereign Lord, I said, I can't speak for you. I'm too young. And the Lord replied, don't say I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. And don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and I will protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken. Then the Lord reached out and touched my mouth and said, look, I have put my words in your mouth. Today I appoint you to stand up against nations and kingdoms. Some of you must uproot and tear down, destroy and overthrow. Others you must build up and plant. Then the Lord said to me, look, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I replied, I see a branch from an almond tree. And I'll stop right there. The word of the Lord, when it comes to Jeremiah, he says, I know you before I formed you in your mother's womb. This afternoon, I want to pray for us that God will really speak to us and God is going to launch us even into our destiny. You know, it's so important. You can be living your own life, doing things for God, but I want to really question, are you doing what God has called you to do? You can be doing many things. I would have shown this video, but it just takes too long. And it's a John Bevere video, and it's of this, an accountant, and he's standing before God, and God says, you know, I served as an accountant. And God says, no, I called you to be a pastor of a church. And he said, but I served you as an accountant. And he says, but no, I called you to be a pastor of a church. You were going to impact 540,000 people, but you missed that. And then another guy comes up and he's a pastor. And he says, God, I pastored a church, you know, of 5,000 people. And God says to him, I never called you to be a pastor. I called you to be an accountant. Because you and three others were designed, you were going to form a partnership and you were going to fund missions. You were going to bless the kingdom of God. And because of that, you would have impacted 800,000 people. And then a mother comes up with a baby and she's crying. She says, I wish I could have gone. I wish I could have gone overseas and done that mission trip, done this for you. And God says, you did perfectly, my sister. You were looking after your three children. because you looked after your three children, you raised them up, you discipled them, you know, God is going to use them as powerful evangelists. They're going to touch tens, hundreds of thousands of people because you devoted your time as a mom to those children. What has God called you to do? Let's pray. Father, this afternoon, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you speak to each of us. Holy Spirit, let these words come from you, Lord God. Let them bear fruit in due season, Lord. Father, I pray for your presence, your anointing to touch every life here, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. So here the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah and says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Do you know that God knows the plans that he has for you even before you were born? And God comes to him at this, I was talking this morning about times and seasons in my church. Do you know that God, at this season, at this time in Jeremiah's life, he said, I knew you before you were born. Now, how many of you would like to know what God has planned for you? Would you like to know that? I think we all would, right? We all would love to know that. And I find that some people, many people, are living out of sync because their lives, they don't understand the times and seasons. In Ecclesiastes 3, I don't have time to go through all of it. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it talks about times and seasons. And it says, there is a time and there's a season for every activity under heaven. Then it says, there's a time to be born, a time to die, and it goes on and on. We can read that. And it finally, it finishes up, a time for war and a time for peace. But there are cycles in there, and you need to know what time and what season you are living in. Because if you don't, I see people that, you know, they get their seasons mixed up, right? This is a very cold morning. Okay, it was very cold. And I don't know about you, but I love mangoes, right? We could find and we could go and search for every mango tree in Brisbane, in fact, Queensland. And I can guarantee you in this season, we will not find a ripe mango. We won't find mangoes. We could search till, you know, we pull our hair out. We could do everything. There will not be a mango 2nd of July or tomorrow. But come summertime, we will find mangoes. All right? There will be a right time for that. There is a time and season for everything. Some people do the wrong thing, right, in the wrong season. If you are trying to harvest at a time of planting, or it's a winter season, you're going to be very frustrated. And I see that many people live out of sync, right? Have you seen that? Nothing seems to work. They seem to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And the Bible actually says it's a curse to be out of sync. It's a curse to be out of sync. Deuteronomy 28, it says, your life shall hang in doubt before you. You'll fear the day and night. You have no assurance of life. In the morning, you'll say, oh, I wish it was evening. In the evening, you'll say, oh, I wish it was the morning. And everything is out of sync. And when you're off, you're at the wrong place, wrong time, wrong things tend to happen. But the kingdom's answer to this is that you need to understand and journey with God through what he calls times and seasons. It's our responsibility to know the times and seasons that we're in today. You have to know. You have to understand that. Now, times speak about, they always bring definition. Time, when we talk about time, it's always a new thing. When we talk about seasons, it's always the next thing. Let me say that again. Okay, a time is a new thing. A season is always the next thing. And you need to know the difference, otherwise your timing will be off. Now, it requires prophetic insight. Now, how do you prepare for new things? How do you prepare for new things? I believe the key is humility. Are you willing to learn? Are you willing to change? Are you willing to follow God? Right? Some people are not. In fact, it says God will resist the proud, but give grace to the humble. So some people, you're resistant to the change. You're resistant to the seasons, and you can't get anywhere.
And I want you to move on with God. Isaiah 43:19 says, God says in Isaiah, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." So with times, times serve as prophetic markers in our lives. Times always speak about actions. So in Ecclesiastes 3, it says, there's a time to embrace. Sometimes you've got to work with people. You've got to embrace people. You've got to show that love. But after a while, when there's no change, that season may change, and it may be a time to not embrace, but actually to turn away. Because they need to grow. They need to, and they haven't grown. And it's, maybe it's a time to leave them. Hear what I'm saying. Seasons speak about predictable prophetic appointments, where you meet God, where you have an encounter with God. There's usually a theme, right? There's a topic, there's a burden that God gives you. It could be a new message if you're a pastor or a leader. God is, you know, ushering a new season. And to know the times and seasons, it requires prophetic revelation. In 1 Chronicles 12:32, it says, "The sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Their chiefs were 200 and all their brethren were at their command." What's he saying here? All right, these men of Issachar understood the times, they understood the seasons, they knew what Israel had to do, and they came to make David king. Now, this speaks about tribal leaders. Now, who are your leaders? Some of us, if you don't know what season you're in, listen to your pastor. Listen to your leaders, your pastors. They can tell you what season prophetically. Some of you are waiting for prophets to come and, you know, speak this. And I love prophets. We've got a prophet coming next week, all right, who can just read your mail. We love that. But let me tell you, the pastors often know what you're going through, and they can tell you what season you're in. And some people, you know, you need to stay put. Some people try and jump seasons. And that's very frustrating. If you're going to grow, can I tell you, if you're going to grow, be planted in the house of God. There are too many pot plants running around. They're pot plants. You move. You can't grow. You can't establish. You know, when we talk about times and seasons, the Bible talks about plowing, right? Plowing up the ground, sowing the seed. And then there's the watering. And then there's fruit. And then there's harvest. And after the harvest, if you look in the Bible, there's the Festival of Shelters. In the Festival of Shelters, it's a time of celebration. They're celebrating the harvest. And there are cycles that happen every year. The Feasts of the Lord teach us. They're around the harvest, the whole agricultural system. And we need to understand that you could be in a season where God is digging up the past, digging up the things, sowing seeds, and you need to grow. And there will be times where there's fruit, and you might get one fruit. Okay, we had a lychee tree in our house, in my parents' house. And this lychee tree was supposed to be a very good one. After 3 years, not one sign of a lychee. My mom and dad went out to this lychee tree. They brought, you know, the knife, and they began to speak to the tree. They said, "We're going to give you one more year. If you don't, we're going to chop you down. And you know what? The lychee tree, the following season, the lychees came out. You can speak to trees. You need to speak over your life. Some of you think I'm kidding. How did God create the earth? Some of you are thinking. Some of you need to take authority in prayer. You need to release and decree and declare, proclaim things. Amen? That's how the exchange happens, by the confession of your mouth. Some of you are thinking so many things. Hey, take authority. Right? If there's a dog around you, and sometimes the devil is like an irritating dog. Yep, 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 yep. You can think all you want. You know, stop. It's not going to work. You take authority. Quiet! Tell the dog to shut up. Some of you are in spiritual warfare. You need to take authority. Amen? You got to take authority. We need to do that. So you need to understand the seasons that you're in, because, you know, in there are things that we're supposed to do in every season, good or bad, up or down, challenging times, good times. There are things that we should be doing every season. There are activities or things that we should be doing. For example, Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. It's good to praise the Lord every day. Amen? The Bible says, Psalm 62, we should do righteousness at all times. The Bible says, pray unceasingly. So I don't care what season you're in. Oh, I'm really busy, Pastor Nelly and Tina. I can't. No, you need to pray. Come. Don't just pray personally. Some people, you know, say, oh, I pray to do my quiet time. You're asleep. You're not doing it. Come. If you know you're, if you are really praying and doing your personal prayer, all right, let me tell you, you'll come for the corporate prayer. The church, Jesus said, my house is to be a house of what? Prayer. You guys are every nation. Yeah, you got the nation part. A house of prayer for all nations. Love your worship. But it's prayer. You can sing all you want, but it's the prayer. Goes hand in hand. The bowls, right? Right? You've got one in one hand. The angels are holding the golden bowls, which are the prayers of the saints, and the other, the harps. Harp and go hand in hand. I was going to teach on this, but very quickly. As priests, you are a royal priesthood. I think I mentioned this last time. When you step into the tabernacle is a pattern for worship, for worshipers. There are three pieces of furniture in the tabernacle. God gave us three things that you're supposed to do. One is the table of showbread. That is the word of God. Try and read 12 chapters. Don't study 12 chapters. Maybe one verse will stick out. Study that one verse. But read. As you read the word of God, it cleanses you. It washes you. Right? It cleanses us from sin. So there's the table of bread. Then there's the lampstand. Right? Side by side. Did you know the lampstand represents the fire of the Holy Spirit? The sevenfold Spirit of God. He is the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of wisdom, revelation, counsel, might, knowledge, the fear of the Lord. The sevenfold Spirit. And do you know what? The only light in the tabernacle comes from the lampstand. In other words, you need enlightenment, you need revelation from the Holy Spirit to read God's Word. You can have the Word of God. Some of you study, study, study. You can study the Word of God and still miss it. You know that? Jesus said to the Pharisees, hey, you're trying to follow the Word of God. You're not seeing me. Some people study, 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 and they miss the truth and the person of Jesus Christ. Some of you coming to church, why do you come to church? Are you coming because of friends, or are you coming because of the truth of Jesus Christ? You need to build the church on the truth and the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's good that you have friends at church. I hope this church will be super friendly, that you will have a family, a place to belong. But you need the truth of God. Amen? And it has to be Jesus Christ. No other reason. The call of God has to come to your life. Now, so those are things that we need to be doing. I had a lecturer. He lectured for 3 hours, theology lecture. The greatness of God and everything. At the end, he didn't even have the faith to pray for somebody who was sick. I'm like, you've just spent 3 hours, 3 hours on the omnipotence and the power of God, and he can't believe for someone to be healed. I said, something is wrong. Something is wrong, okay? So there are things we need to be doing, amen? So how many of you want to know God's plan for your life? Do you know John Bevere, or John Severe, he asked this question to over, I think, 500 people, different churches, or was it 5,000? I can't remember. And he said, if you had the chance to ask God one question, what would it be? The overwhelming response from people was that, why am I here? What do you want me to do? What is my purpose, in other words? What is my purpose? Do you know that the answer has been staring, been in front of us all this time? It's in Genesis chapter 1, the book of first things. Genesis chapter 1, can I tell you what your purpose is? Number one, let's look at Genesis chapter 1, 26. It says, God says, let us make man, human beings, in our image to be like us. The very first thing, no matter what season you're in, what job you do, you are called to be an image bearer of Christ. I don't care whether you are, you know, a student, a lowly student, struggling, or you're a multi, you know, million-dollar paid CEO, CFO, whatever you are. Wherever you are in life, you are called to bear the image of Christ. To bear the image of Christ means we need to have the character of God. We need to have the mind of Christ. You know, we're talking about kingdom culture. Jesus said, "The king, repent of your sins, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Do you know that repentance, that word, people think, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, God, I sinned. I let you down. I have this addiction. I have this. I'm sorry, God. Repentance is not confession. That may be part of it. You can come to the altar and say sorry to God. But true repentance is metanoia, a change in your thinking. There was a battle of Brisbane this morning or this afternoon. Do you know there's a battle going on? The battlefield of our mind. It's in our mind. That's where the big battle is, actually. Because it says, 2 Corinthians 10, what does it say, right? That the weapons of our warfare are not worldly or carnal. They are powerful for the pulling down of what? Strongholds. Strongholds are thought patterns, ways of thinking that need changing. Are you prepared to change? Are you prepared to change? Because to be an image bearer, to have the kingdom of God, to be kingdom people, our thinking needs to change. Don't know whether you're struggling with addictions. I don't know what you're going through. For some, it might be bitterness, things of the past. You know, you have a victory, a spiritual freedom weekend. Those are things you need to go to deal with the past, to bring change. Some of us are too stuck in our default ways of thinking. There's depression. There's negativity. There's offense against that person. Hey, let go. Let go of that. Okay? I really want to encourage you. You need to focus on Christ. You cannot afford to think thoughts that God does not think. Can I say that again? You cannot afford to think thoughts that God does not think. Our humanity that is not centered on Jesus Christ is demonic in nature. Go read the book of James. Go read it. All right? If you're relying, if it's about you, if it's about yourself, maybe you're having conflict with somebody. All right? I had a conflict with someone. I reacted this week on Friday to the point where I slammed the door. I got really upset. Right? Yeah, pastors get upset. I'm just like you. Okay? And man, I realized all about me, my rights. You hurt me. You said that thing. That's me. That's my humanity. And that's demonic. I found myself accusing another person to the point of almost cursing the other person. And I realized, man, what? That's... I've just given the devil a foothold in that. And when I realized I had to change... And I've got to realize I need God's thoughts on this. Love, joy, peace, patience. You know, Jesus, they lied about Jesus. They told lies about him. They falsely accused him. You know what Jesus did? Just sat there quietly, stood there, and he had the peace of God right through. We need to be image bearers of God in this day and age, amen? And not just react to things. The second thing, very quickly, I'm going to fly through this. I don't care what you do, student, whatever, be an image bearer, okay? The second thing, your purpose, let's read this. Genesis 1:28, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase, multiply in number, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish, and so on. When we read that verse, we think, okay, let's just have children, let's multiply, let's increase, fill the earth, correct? Oh, multiplication in our head. In the Hebrew, if you look at the word is para. The word fruitful is para. That means to realize the seed potential within you. In Jeremiah had God appointed him as a prophet before he was born. That seed potential of being a prophet to the nations is already in him. What is your seed potential? What has God put into you? When you come, when you're born again, when you receive Jesus in your life, the pastors, the leaders, we want to disciple you. Why? To draw out that seed potential in you. Many of you have talents. You have, right, gifts within you. That's got to come forth, right? A mango tree, given the right conditions, will produce mangoes. It will come out. You give it the right soil, you give it the right temperature, the right season, it will come. Amen? So let the seed potential in you come out. That's what that verse, that word is saying. Be fruitful. Be fruitful, every nation. Be fruitful in each of your families, in your lives. I'm not just saying have children, okay? Be fruitful. Realize that seed potential and release it. The next thing, okay? The next thing is to multiply. The word multiply is to become great and significant. To become great and significant. Now, you may have a talent like Pastor Nelly, a musical gift. Maybe you're playing at home. Yeah, you've identified, yeah, I've got a bit of a gift. But God then wants you, that gift, that calling in your life to become great and significant. Let it develop. Let it impact nations. Let the songs begin to impact nations. Amen? Can you see how this works? All right? So, para, rabba, multiply, let it become. And some people move around. They jump seasons. They get a prophecy. Oh, you're going to impact the kingdom. And they move too quickly. They leave their place. They jump to another church or another ship or whatever. And they miss the timing of God. I don't want you to miss the time of God. Remain planted. Do you know that Jeremiah, God said, if you look at it, he said, I will appoint you to stand up against nations and kingdoms. You're going to tear down nations and all. And you think, Jeremiah the conqueror. Do you know the guy never left Jerusalem? He just stayed in Jerusalem. Yet his prophecies affected nations. Some of you need to remain planted. Amen. Grown. Let that significance come forth in this place. Amen. If you can't do it here, I don't think God's going to take it out there. Think about that. And the third word, to fill the earth is mala, to accomplish what is intended. What has God intended for your life? The gift that is there, it's got to accomplish what God has planned for it. So this is where, like Jeremiah, you need to be in prayer. You need to hear God. You need to be under prophetic guidance from your leaders. Being under submission is part of that, right? Let it accomplish what God wants. And finally, the word is subdue, kibosh, which means to take responsibility. As a pastor, we have many people in church. I say, you know, rise up. Why don't you lead a connect group? Why don't you do this? And oh, I'm scared. I'm scared of commitment. Right? I'm scared. When has God given you a spirit of fear? The two excuses Jeremiah came up with, I'm too young. Why? Because when I'm too young, people will look at me. What will they think of me? That's his own pride speaking. What if I get rejected by the people? And fear. God said, do not be afraid. Stop living in fear. Don't be afraid of what God has called you to do. Amen? You need to rise up. We need to take hold of it. So, take responsibility. I love this. You know, Bill Hybels, senior pastor of Willow Creek, he says, some of you guys got leadership. Go lead something. And he's already leading a church of about 30,000. And then the opportunity came for him to sit on the board of World Vision to deal with a budget of over $60 million. He stepped into it. His local sailing club, he loves sailing. He's now the captain of his sailing club. He sails. He leads as a captain on a ship. He sits on the board of World Vision US. And he's also leading Willow Creek, church of 30,000. Begin to lead something, right? Sports, go and lead. Do something, right? Rise up in leadership. Don't be afraid of responsibility. Amen? So when Pastor Nelly comes and calls you and says, why don't you try this? Oh, I don't have time. Hey, Jesus gave everything for you. Jesus gave his life for you. You can give some time to God. Amen? Don't worry. God can redeem the time. God can refresh you as well. I want to finish off with this story. And it's a great story. I don't know whether you heard of this guy that saved a nation's economy. I'm not sure whether you've heard of this guy. Wonderful guy. It's a true story. It's a story of a man who single-handedly solved the economic problems of the nation of the U.S., United States of America, through one revelation. It's a true story. His name is George Washington Carver. Not George Washington, the president. George Washington Carver, the slave boy. If you go to any museum, agriculture or whatever, he'll be there. You can Wikipedia him, whatever. And he's credited. And you can go, right, and there are statues of him that says, this is the man that saved the economy of our nation. He was an African-American slave boy, the child of a slave. He was kidnapped and is resold into slavery. His father actually got free, but then he was kidnapped and resold into slavery. He was separated from his mom when he was kidnapped. He never saw his mother again. And he was taken to work on a farm by a white southern farmer. And he was just a lowly farmhand. And one day he was walking by the house and he noticed the son, the little boy of, you know, the plantation owner. And the boy was praying. And he walked in, he started talking to the boy. And that boy led him to Jesus Christ. He was born again. And he said, after that prayer, all of heaven filled my heart. And he was never the same again. And he longed, he had such an interest in agriculture, in plants, botany, right? Studying all this stuff. He had no education, but he loved creation. He loved studying plants. And he longed for an education in this area, but there was no schools in his area. The closest school that he could attend was a night school 14 kilometers away. And he joined up and he began to study. And he studied botany and biology. And what was happening at that time was the cotton industry, right? It was a huge industry. It was the industry, the cotton industry. But what happens with the cotton plant is that after a few years, it rapes the soil. It takes all the nutrients, all the goodness from the soil. And entire, you know, hectares of farmland was now becoming useless. And he began to ask God, right? He said, if God created all things, there must be a solution. There must be a solution, a sustainable solution that can complement, that we can fix this thing. And he began to pray. He began to pray. And as he studied, God gave him, right? His prayer was pretty simple. First, he prayed. He said, God, will you reveal to me the secrets of the universe? And God said, no, it's too great for you. You can't handle it. So he said, okay, next prayer. God, will you reveal to me the secrets of mankind, of people? And God said, no, it's beyond you. It's too great. So third time he prayed, he said, God, will you reveal to me the secret of the peanut? The peanut. And God said, yep, I'll do that. Do you know what? He found that by planting a peanut plant next to the cotton trees, the peanut plant would actually replenish the soil. He went to council meetings, public meetings with all these farmers, landowners. You know, he was ridiculed. He was laughed at. Because all these cotton tree owners, right, plantation owners, they laughed at him. And he said, no, the peanut is going to save your land. And they said, the peanut is useless. You're an idiot. Get lost. Do you know what he did? He didn't stop there. He pressed on because he knew this was the solution. Do you know he registered, patented and registered 300 commercial uses for the peanut. He developed from the peanut, these were his patents, wallboard cleaners, rubber, diesel fuel additives, axle grease, gasoline, coarse paper, white paper, paints, 17 types of wood stains from the peanut, Crayola crayons, peanut oil in shampoo, toilet cleaners, fat-reducing cream, glycerine, baby massage lotions, hand lotions, and of course, there were food inventions, namely what? Peanut butter. That was all patented by George Washington Carver. Eventually, people saw the light, and because of that, the peanut industry took off. And you know what? He saved the American economy during his generation. And wow, we need to learn to find the gold in each of us. Release the seed potential in you.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.